college do I need a sender? Tech a Yale, tech a Yale. You got me mixing full sale. Into a denim. That means I want a venom. And overseas is where I want to tender. FedEx, hello, but don't sign it with my heart. I know you used to be a small, but I can change more to oil. And I ain't talking about the gold cards. So to let me pop that trunk and let me put my laser gun in the back. And let it beat against the sack. Cause I don't know how to act when it comes to that. So I'ma let Elion bring the hook back, back, back.
Girl, you got this thing about you. We've been dancing on the floor all night. Do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby? Let's get out of here. Girl, girl, you got this thing about you. You like to wear your jeans real tight.
That's right.
You sexy and I wanna rock you.
Yeah.
Through the stratosphere.
Yeah, yeah. She's like a stallion at Derby. No other girls walk to her beat. She's thick plus her plates are perky. Damn, baby girl,
come with me
to a world unknown. Enigma, I'm on it like lumberjack timber. Atmosphere cloudy, snow cap December. And I can't seem to get her up
off her knees. She's aggressive and I like her aggression. And she likes the progression to the sky. We're so high, so high, so high.
Not know. I'm really spaced out, constantly up in the cosmos. And she make my head spin, cyclone. I think I need to get a grip, python. Way out of control, we both wildin'. Fresh air traffic control to both islands. Lost in each other, lose all sense of timing. As long as you're smiling, hey.
Girl, girl, you got this thing about you. Ooh, we've been dancing on the floor all night. Do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby? Let's get out of here. This thing about you, you like to wear your jeans real tight. You sexy and I wanna rock you through the stratosphere.
Welcome to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We have some excellent guests tonight and some terrific new music. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride on today's Entrepreneurs.
Good evening, and welcome to today's Entrepreneurs. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams.
We have a nice show lined up for you guys tonight.
Very nice indeed.
We have five or six guest interviews tonight, people from all walks of life, all different business backgrounds. We have some good music. What's going on, J.R.?
I can't call it. You know what? I got back into my little regiment today.
Yeah,
you know, went to the gym.
Okay.
Started up. So I was laid out, you know, really before I came here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just had to get myself together, stretch it out. But, you know, it's always good, man.
What did you ever start with those resumes for the kids from with
definitely, I guess just Monday? Mentioned it to the wife. And you know, it was just good to put it out there in the atmosphere, man. Put it out in the universe. I mentioned it to her, told her, you know, what I thought about it. I'm sure we'll check it out.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight our first guest is David Domzowski. Okay. He's with a company called The Financial Bin. And we're gonna go ahead and see what this is all about. So David, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys, and I want to commend you on the saying the last name. Not many people get it right the first time.
Yeah, you know,
it's phonetical, definitely.
That's what I tell people, exactly. Yeah.
So, David, tell us about your background briefly.
Sure. Well, you know, I graduated from college back in 2006, and I graduated with a degree in accounting. And, you know, like most college students, I graduated $20,000 in student loan debt. So, you know, as you can imagine, that's kind of difficult starting out in life in the hole. But, you know, I know there's plenty of people out there that share the same experience. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, kind of helped me, you know, lay out a budget layout because I really had no clue. So, you know, after kind of a few years of just, you know, paying the monthly minimums and I really decided that I wanted to take it on full force in around 2009. You know, I just wanted to pay it all off and just be done with it because I was sick of just paying, you know, little by little every month and not really seeing the balance go down. So, you know, right around May 2010, you know, I finally paid it all off. I didn't save. All my spare money kind of went to just debt repayment. And you know, the whole process, it kind of fostered this interest in personal finance and entrepreneurship for me. And I figured that there were plenty of people out there in, you know, my age group, the Generation Y age group, that shared the same experience. So that's really where the background where I'm coming from, and that's really where, you know, the financial bit in the company kind of took root.
Okay, David. So tell us, why did you start the financial bin?
Well, really, you know, I mean, Generation Y is in really a tough spot right now, and as I just said, you know, graduating college with student loan debt and not being able to, not really having the many job prospects out there, I kind of feel like, you know, people need a source to come to, and there are plenty of, you know, various different sites out there and everything, but the financial bin, our focus is we want to be a media company. We don't just want to be another site that you go to, you know. So we have interviews from you know, various kind of similar to what you guys are doing. Various people from all walks of life, entrepreneurs who have been out there and done it, and people who have gotten out of debt. And we want to be a resource for people to come and to learn something. And, you know, because going forward, it's only going to get rougher, you know, in the immediate future. So we want to be a resource for people to really learn something.
David, let me ask you just on my own, for my own need, actually, what do you feel about bankruptcy? What are your thoughts on bankruptcy?
Well, I mean, you know, I would advise against it at all costs, because it's really something that kind of sticks with you. I think the time period is like 7 years. It's going to be on your record, on your credit report. So yep. If you can avoid it, you know, by all means, please, you know, go out there and pay down whatever debt you can. Otherwise, I mean, unfortunately, you have people walking away from homes, you know, nowadays because of foreclosure. That's another big issue.
Exactly.
But, you know, I personally, again, I'm not a financial advisor, but I would advise against it. Okay. But unfortunately, some people do have to fall into that unfortunate trap. So, you know, you gotta grin and bear it, and you just gotta work your way through it, because again, like I said, it's gonna be with you for a couple of years. So you do your best. If you pay every little debt that you can, you know, kind of show a little bit of a history that you're trying to do, you know, trying to take a proactive approach. But again, it's just not the, if you can avoid it at all costs, I highly recommend it.
I got you. Well, can you tell us why it's important to focus on Generation Y?
Well, you know, I kind of think, you know, you had the baby boomers that, you know, have kind of left things the how they are for us, kind of left us in this real mess almost. So I think, you know, we're going to be the generation that's kind of taking the bull by the horns going forward. I mean, you have look at what's happening all throughout the world. Look what's happening over in Europe with Greece and everything. We're going to be the ones facing this. So I that's why you got to focus on Generation Y. Generation Y, you know, unemployment, you know, no one's finding jobs. They're graduating college with all this debt, and they can't get a job. So that's why, you know, one of our focuses is, yes, personal finance, get your own house in order, but also entrepreneurship. You know, I think people are going to need to realize that, you know, maybe if they're lucky enough to work for a company, they'll have a job. But, you know, at the same time, you got to find another way of bringing in some income. So, like I said, I mean, some people are not going to be able to find a job at all. So they need to know how to start a business, how to handle those finances, most importantly. And, you know, going forward, you know, whether it's personal finance or entrepreneurship, I think that's, you know, that's going to be something that's key and that's going to be needed.
So when you say Generation Y, what date range are you actually referring to?
The typical ones that I see out there, it's, you know, your early to mid 20s to about your mid 30s to, you know, some ranges even call it, you know, in your early 40s. So that's really the range, and you're kind of bumping up against Generation X a little bit too, who I think, you know, the younger part of Generation X probably falls into this category as well.
Okay. Well, tell us about your book, The Entrepreneur Intervention. How did that come about?
Well, I got to tell you, this is our baby right now. We started this in the process actually in July 2011. And we were lucky enough to release it in November 2011. Really, you know, ramped it up and tried to get it out there really fast. You know, basically how it came about, you know, as I said, we see this need for entrepreneurship out there, and you know, we thought that we could do a better job of putting a piece of literature out there that could really benefit a lot of people in the Generation Y age group. So I reached out via social media and via, you know, just via email. You know, I used you might have heard of this, Help a Reporter Out, helpareporterout.com. I just put, you know, the qualifications out there and had a tremendous response of just people, you know, wanting to tell their story. And, you know, 28 of them made the cut. And I got to tell you, I mean, they're some of the most remarkable stories and some of the most remarkable people that you ever have a privilege of learning about or meeting. I mean, they've overcome some of the most difficult odds, you know, even outside of business. I mean, losing loved ones and dealing with all types of abuse and things like that. And it's just really, you know, I think it's something that, you know, people, you know, no matter what age you are, you can kind of learn from. But really, you know, I mean, again, it goes back to the whole premise of the company is, and that's to help those in the Generation Y age group. And, you know, if you want to start a business, you will certainly, you need to know how to do it. And you can't just go out there blindly. And really, if you really want to learn, I mean, these people, they take you step by step with what they did, with the joys they faced and the failures that they faced. And, you know, honestly, I can honestly say that each story in the book, I kind of learned that lesson. It's kind of funny how it came together. I mean, but throughout my course of learning about entrepreneurship and everything, it was just humbling for me to see all that. So it's a really good resource, and I definitely recommend your listeners check it out.
So, David, where can people pick up a copy of the book at?
Well, you can hop on our website, financialbin.com, and at the very top you have the book section, and that'll take you to all the different outlets that it's on. So it's on Amazon and CreateSpace and paperback, and you can get it for your Kindle, for your iPad, and for your Sony Reader, and also your Barnes & Noble Nook.
What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
Well, this is a very, very important question for me, because, you know, as I said, you know, I'm fairly new to the entrepreneurial game as well. And, you know, when you're trying to start something, some people want to jump on. They want to help you out with all, you know, good intentions. But I would say definitely the one thing is don't hire your friends. I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I know it might sound cool to have, you know, maybe a few of your buddies involved in your startup, but in my experience, it's really a recipe for disaster. You know, no one, not your friends or your family or whoever, will really care about your business as much as you do. Now, of course, there are exceptions to every rule, but, you know, one alternative that I found really beneficial is to find other entrepreneurs, maybe the skills that you need, and then maybe see if you can kind of trade or barter a little bit, maybe help each other out in some way.
Yeah,
you know, because, you know, you're a startup, you can't really pay anybody.
Right.
You know, otherwise, if you do have the funds to do so, I would recommend first, before you hire anyone, talk with entrepreneurs and small business owners who've done it and kind of get their advice. But again, stay away from friends.
Family and friends.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to David Domzowski. David, how can people get in touch with you in the Financial Bin?
Well, first off, as I said before, go to financialbin.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @financialbin, and please like us on Facebook, facebook.com/financialbin. And I already told you how to pick up the book, so please do so as well.
Okay. Well, David, thank you for coming on to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. We wish you all the best in all your future endeavors.
Much appreciated.
I appreciate it, guys. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Good night.
Take
care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was David Domzowski from the Financial Bin. Sounded interesting. I'm going to check that out.
Gotta give it a look.
Gotta give it a look
and see,
you see know, what it's all about. What is going on?
What tips can be implemented, and you know, right now,
how they can help
put in place in the future.
Exactly. How they can help your business get to your profit potential.
We're off to a fast start here. You know, we got good information right from the first guest.
Now we our next caller coming up is a relationship expert. So if you have any questions for Steve Williams, the relationship expert, you can call in 888-429-5471 or hit us on Skype, BBS Radio 2. Once again, the call-in number is 888-429-5471. Why don't we play some music? Play a few songs and we'll come back to you guys on the flip side.
We can do that.
You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are to me.
That's what you are.
No matter the weather,
you shine bright for all to see.
Eric Sermon.
Gonna keep it going.
Yeah.
This is our one, yeah, man.
Yes.
Let's smooth it out. Let's plug this up in the car.
Yeah.
In your headphones. Just rhyme.
I'm here to sip your martini. See through their faces, cause they not me. And God will be on my shoulders, cause our outfit be. I order NYC like B-I-G. Sloppy, confident, cocky, cocky. Swish from the top of the key. Your wine try to stop me. No carbon copy. So nice, flow to my heart beat. Get as deep as a shark's teeth. Glow bright, I can't light up a dark street. No rapper. Beyond an RT, being real flows through my arteries. Make it hot, then I have to breathe. One purpose here, forget a lot of cheese. Focus, ain't nobody harming nobody. On the mic, I'm like strong on rock done.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from.
Got haters everywhere I go now. Jealous, no class, no staff. 1 minute, look at my profile. Milk the game until there's no cows. Met my unbuttoned my blouse. Leggo shoes now, into my house. Hip hop, never take the rhyme out. Ballin' hard, call a timeout. Better listen like my up the nine now. Cocaine, just spit lines out. Could never take my shine out. Look bitter, guan, tech lime out. My prime, can't stop my grind now. Moving forward, yes, my time now. No stunting, it's what I'm about. I just drop the shoes, then I'm out.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from.
Hey yo, live from the boogie down Bronx of Dub. I'm putting P in the game now. It's time for a sub.
That's why.
The question is, can she compete? With two of them, they came to speak. Their approach is weak. Me, how you hot because of what you did in the street? Impress me on the beat. We ain't gonna repeat. You heard what I said, man. I keep my style underground like a dead man. And you can lay with them or not. How you want it? Get cut or get shot? Cause that's what happens when you're playing the toughie. Questions get danced around like Puffy. And like him, we ain't gonna stop. Never. On the mic with murder. Mason, better. Anybody stepping to us, Joe Paris. Got respect from Jamaica since I shot the sheriff.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. What up is a body girl? Tell me where you get it from.
Yes, we're back. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show.
I love that song, man. Raheem Devon. I'm a fan. The first one, that is.
Once again, the call-in number is 888-429-5471.
Let us get those questions. Call in and, you know, let us hear what's going on. Give us the comments. Give our callers some questions, folks.
You can reach us at Skype, BBS Radio 2 at Skype.
It's free. That's free, right?
Skype? Yeah, Skype's free. If you have a Skype account, to make a Skype account is free. So
it's free.
Person-to-person Skype is definitely free. Skype to Skype.
Call in. So how's everything else going on?
You know,
as far as...
Everything's good, man. Everything's going real good. Business is going good. And our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is relationship expert Steve Williams. And Steve, how you doing?
Man, how you doing, man? I'm good. I appreciate being on here.
Steve, good to hear from you.
So, Steve, tell us a little bit about your background being a relationship expert.
Okay, well, I guess it kind of starts off like in the second grade. You know, when I was in the second grade, I used to kiss girls, got caught in the bushes. When I was, I think, 9 or 10, I was naked with the babysitter, couldn't get it up, nervous. Got a mentor that taught me how to pick up women. Got my first woman when I was 14. She was 24, married, bisexual, and a stripper. Then she showed me how to get women. And then from that point, later on in my life, I became a gigolo. Got paid to service women. And then after that, I got married. So I've been married for 12 years. So,
So you're kind of like Hitch.
Yeah,
no, Hitch. No, Hitch was weak. Hitch wasn't a man.
Oh.
Okay. I teach man, and I I'm not Hitch.
Oh, man. I watched the special the other day on that about the, I guess it was like on Dateline about the younger guys and, you know, taking women out. And I guess it's just some type of loophole on the agency that's doing the business. But the loophole is that as long as, you know, they go out on a regular date, that whatever else happens is all right. And somehow it's not considered, you know, prostitution. So it was interesting.
Well, dating is really prostitution if you really want to look at it. I mean, you're taking a, well, we don't pay for dates. I teach my guys not to pay for dates, but but dating is really paying for a service. Valentine's Day is paying for a service. Christmas, which is for kids, is paying for a service.
Right. Yeah.
So Dave, Steve Williams, ladies and gentlemen. So Steve, tell us about your book.
Well, I've got a book that I'm working on right now, and the book is really going to be for men. It's something that your dad should have given you when you were leaving the household. A lot of young men nowadays don't have dad in the household, and they're raised by mom. They have mom teachers. You know, just a lot of female emotional energy going around, if you know what I mean. A lot of these guys act more like women nowadays than men. So what the book is going to do is going to show them how to look out for a certain type of women and really rate them on a certain system to see if they're even worthy for a wedding ring.
Do you have a name already you're looking into?
I have one, but I don't want to say it because it's going to be very controversial. Yeah, it's
All right. Well, we have Steve Williams. So, Steve, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas, man. Originally from Maryland, but calling from Texas.
All right. Now, we have some questions from our listeners. We have David from Oklahoma writes, what are your thoughts on workplace romance?
You don't eat and poop in the same place. I don't want to cuss, but you don't do that. You have to separate church from state. Even though they're pretty women that you want to sleep with, you don't sleep with them, but what you can do is you can set it up with the woman at your office because birds of a feather flock together. So you can set it up where you don't nail the chick in the office, but you can nail her friends.
Oh, goodness. Cindy from Chicago, she writes, how do you feel about interracial marriage?
I am in an interracial marriage. It's the best thing in the world, guys. I remember the last black woman I ever dated hit me in the back of the head with a ketchup bottle, broke my Prince records, called the police on me. Then she wanted me back a few weeks. Best thing that ever happened to me. So no, absolutely. I'm not against black women, but I'm just telling guys that don't leave your options on one race. There's so many women there. Do what you want to do, and as for a woman, date who you want.
Exactly. Oh yeah, Steve. I just want to remind you that yeah, this is internet radio, so if you want to cuss this man, go ahead and let it out. And
oh, goddamn, shit, good, fuck, all right, cool, shit, all right, good.
Okay, so we have Brian from New York writes, when do you need to end a relationship?
You need to end a relationship before you begin a relationship, and let me explain this, guys. This is where a lot of guys fuck up. A lot of guys cupcake and handcuff women too early. When you're dating a woman, and you're dating her, which means she is allowed to go see whoever she wants and date whoever she wants. She can do whatever the fuck she wants to do. But when you sit down and have a relationship with a woman, this is when you have what we call a powwow. There's going to be no male friends. And there's going to be no Facebooks if you want a serious relationship with me. If you have a problem with that, you need to take your ass on and get the fuck out. It starts early because this is the problem that a lot of relationships are having now. The women are running around on Facebook with all these guys that's trying to nail them to the coffin. And but their boyfriends are not man enough to check their woman at the goddamn door. This feels better cussing.
Feels better? You feel loose now?
Yeah, I feel good now. I'm back home now. Yeah, hell yeah.
Let me ask you this now. With all that's going on, you know, even in the Congress and, you know, the debates and all these states that are, you know, voting for gay marriage, how do you feel about gay marriage?
I am a lesbian. I'm a closet lesbian. So I am okay with two women being together, because to me that's like a Mona Lisa. That's art. That's beautiful. But something about two balls and hairy balls slapping up against someone's face, it doesn't sit well with me. So I'm sorry. I feel if there's a double standard that has to go on, because it is a double standard out in the world today, I think let the women eat as much pussy as they want to eat. God bless them all. But, you know, they need to have these boys get punched in the chest and had a daddy whip their ass for the shit they doing.
Oh, that's funny. So, what are your thoughts on Kobe Bryant and his wife and her receiving the $75 million in all the houses?
Well, see, Kobe, like Tiger, forgot what it means to be a man. And Kobe never got taught, so did Tiger. Same scenario. See, when you sit down with your woman, you had that kind of money. You say, look, you need to get a go buy a comfortable chair and go get a notepad from Walmart. And what you need to do is write down all the shit that I like to do, because I'm the one with the money. You just got a piece of pussy, which ain't shit. So you need to find out, I like two women. If I like two women, you need to bring three women in. If I like freaky shit, bring in two midgets and a tricycle. That is your job to satisfy me, because I'm bringing in the money. I'm not going to give you any money. All I'm going to give you is some good dick. And that's the problem with these guys. They don't know how to fuck. So they got to supplement the fucking with finances. That's why they're coming off the ends like they are, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do make a good point. That's valid sense. So we have another question. This one is from Eric in New Jersey. He writes, does a relationship have to be defined?
Yes, it has to be defined, because when you're dealing with these emotional goddamn women out here, they automatically think when you put a dick in their mouth and shoot cum in their face, y'all are together as a couple. It is your job as a motherfucking man to let her know where you stand, where you're going, and where you're headed to. It is not up to the woman, because if it was up to the woman, y'all would be married by now. You need to learn how to get your balls out of her purse, get your spine out of the backyard, and man the fuck up and tell her this is what's going on. And if you don't want to get on my bus, get the fuck off.
Oh, wow. Now, Steve, how long have you had this philosophy?
I've had this philosophy when I was young. I started this philosophy. My teacher, my mentor, showed me, like I say, when I was like 11 or 12. He took me under his wing and showed me how to really what manhood was about. But then when I met the 24-year-old, she showed me how, you know, right now we call humans, the regular males out there, they stuck in Miss Crabtree's birds and bees class of sex. I teach my students the vultures and hornets. You do foreplay, we do five play. You know, we all about tearing that pussy up and making them sit in the fetal position, shivering and saying, why did you do that type shit? So I've been doing this all my life, man.
So, I mean, when you say students, what do you mean? Do you have like a school or?
Yeah. SchoolofDating.com. SchoolofDating.com is our main website. And we teach men how to fuck, how to pick up women, how to have good marriages, how to have dates, how to take women out. It's like a male magazine for men. And we have like an online radio show also. So we help men all over the world.
So do you do you subscribe for something like that? How does that exactly, how does a customer utilize your service?
Okay, we have services, but what we do, we have a lot of free stuff. We put over, like this week, we have over 7 hours of podcasts. We do podcasts, video interviews. I go around talking to women. That's free. We have a free chat line. You can even call and talk to me for 30 minutes for free. I mean, we give a lot of information. I think we have over 15 gigs of free information for people. We have they, you can never catch up to us because we're always putting out at least 7 hours a week or plus, 7 hours plus a week. Free, absolutely free. Podcasts, iTunes, the whole nine.
So how long has this website been up, schoolofdating.com?
Well, we started in 95. Well, what happened was I got a job in Vancouver, CFRO, 102.7 CFRO in Vancouver. And what happened was I was teaching guys the game. But the problem was the program director's wife got mad at me for saying women ain't about shit. You know, they put their ass on the table, they're going to get fucked type stuff. So, you know, the program director was a pussy, so they canceled the show. So what I did back then in like 95, I just started opening up different websites, and it's finally come together since 95 to be the School of Dating. It's really the Alpha Syndicate, but School of Dating is simple enough to get there.
Okay, so you got some years behind you in your field of expertise. Huh?
Always. Safe, oh, yeah.
Safe to say.
So do you come across any pimps?
Well, no, we're not pimps or macs. My thing is, I feel like I crash landed here from the planet Man, and I'm going after the number one resource, which is ass. For some reason, all these human males who look like me and have the same parts as me, they want to hang out with the zebras. I mean, lions don't hang out with zebras. We eat zebras. And you have all these guys hanging out with women, like at bars and clubs and shit. I don't even know how that shit works. We don't hang out with women. We fuck women. That's what I teach my guys. That's what men do. But society, TV, radio, which makes us look like a bunch of idiots and buffoons, has programmed these humans to think that you got to be friends with these motherfuckers. You got to hang out in groups like How I Met Your Mother or Seinfeld or Friends. Y'all got to sit around and talk about a bunch of bullshit. Hell no. That's for the punk asses that pay for the dinners. Look, you pay for the dinners, I'll fuck them. That's how it works.
Well, all right. So let me ask you this, though. I mean, so the guys and your students, for instance, they're obviously not individuals that are looking for relationships.
We cover everything. Now, again, if you want to take on a gigolo lifestyle, I can show you how to do that. If you want a good marriage, I can show you how to do that. If you want a bunch of women or a girlfriend, I can show you how to do that. We cover every basis for every man except man-on-man stuff. We do everything under the sun. We teach you a sense of being a man and not falling and buckling to these women and kissing and handcuffing and giving them flowers and buying dinners and drinks. You don't have to do that shit to get their pussy. It's easy to get their ass, especially now in the Facebook age, because when I was doing it, there was no Facebook or Twitter. This shit is easy. It's so easy, guys. I teach my guys, if I can get a woman on the phone, text message or email her, I can get her and play with her pussy before I even touch the pussy. That's how easy this shit is, man.
So, Steve, wow, I mean, you have some really interesting stuff. I mean, I like this. This is great. This is new. This is fresh. This
controversial.
Is controversial, to say the least. I mean, the Facebook is blowing up right now. This is they love you in the chat room.
I love you too, guys. I want you to grab your balls. I got number love for the guys. And my job for you guys is to get you as much ass and pussy as you possibly can without dealing with bullshit. If you're married, I'm going to show you how to put your wife in check where she sleeps on the motherfucking couch and you sleep in your goddamn bed. I'm going to show you that you don't have to spend money on Valentine's Day where, you know what, you can go outside your house, pick a flower out of the goddamn grass and hand it to her, and she's going to cherish that shit more than any of these goddamn jewelry commercials and all that other bullshit that they're stuffing up your ass right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So, Steve, you brought up marriage. Now,
yes.
What do you think makes a successful marriage? What do you think makes a marriage work?
Okay, the way what makes a marriage work is, number one, guys, you have to be a motherfucking man at the end of the day. You can't be some man giant of bitch-ass guy that wants a cupcake or say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Understand this, guys, and this is the best thing about what I teach you. You are responsible for you, and she is responsible for her. You're not to take on her debt. If she has kids, you have to make sure she's responsible enough to keep the dad involved in the relationship. You've got to make sure if she is a single mother, you have to make sure the child or that crumb-snatching kid who might rob you from 20 years is doing something right, because you can always tell a good woman through her child. A good marriage is based off a system, guys, and that's what we teach you. You have to have laws, rules, and codes, but before you get married, and this is where they fuck up, guys, before you get married, it is a systematic row of powwows. Like I said before, when you start the date, you got to have the powwow when you say, okay, I want to have a relationship. You've got to lay some laws down there. Then after the relationship, it's probably moving in together. When you move together, look, no male friends, period. No Facebooks, period. After that point, we don't get engaged, we need to talk, have another powwow. Then after the engagement, we get married, have a powwow. Having kids, have a powwow. The problem is the human males, they get so cupcakey on these goddamn women. Oh, I love you, I'm sorry, what can I do? You know, because they watch that shit on TV. They think, you know, what they see on TV is real any goddamn way. So when she's mad at you, what do they tell you? Happy wife, happy life. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? That woman right there is the one I'm going to fuck. Why? Because you're not being a man. And how do I know? Because she's not giving you any ass. Your dick is the thing that's going to control the goddamn relationship. Whoever controls the board controls the marriage. But it's deeper than that, guys. It's so much stuff, and I don't want to, like, take all the time up at that. But I'm just giving you a quick shot of it, yo.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you definitely hit on some things there. So, That I'm sure, you know, right there is going to drive a lot of traffic right to your site, you know, and get people looking into what it is that you have to offer. Because, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people, like you said, man, that just sort of don't wear the pants. And the women take full advantage of that, you know, and that's probably, you know. So,
well, because I mean, they don't know. They don't know.
That's what I was going to say. From the beginning, that's the thing. It was probably shadowed, or, you know, it just wasn't, you know, it was a covert operation until she got what she wanted to get, you know, and put her thing in place.
That's a yes and no. And this is the first time I'm going to blame the human males, okay? I'm going to blame the humans for a second. Yeah. You humans over there, because I'm not from this goddamn planet, because I'm from the planet man. I don't know what the fuck we crash-landed. Yeah. Okay. I made a wrong turn at Mars and crash-landed here and shit. But anyway, so this is how things work, guys. Get your crayons out and check this shit out. The problem is that you don't know what it fucking means to be a man. Because the first lie is the first question that she asks your ass, are you seeing anybody? And you say, no, I ain't seeing nobody. Why are you going to lie to her? I teach my guys not to lie. Be who you are. Because if you follow what we teach you, at the end of the day, she cannot make any excuses why y'all broke up. It will always be her fault. Why? Because I teach you how to treat women the way you want to be treated. There's no reason to yell and scream. There's no such thing as a problem, guys. Write that down and circle that shit and put little stars around it. Because let me explain that real quick, because you goddamn men don't understand this shit. You see, you humans, this is a problem, a human problem. Oh, my wife is mad at me. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. She won't talk to me for a few days. That's not a problem, guys. That's a human problem. Us men, we don't deal with problems. We only deal with solutions. If you have a problem with me, you need to get the fuck out, period. And let me tell you what a problem is to me. A fucking meteor coming towards Earth. Or the world turning into goddamn zombies, and I'm trying to find some shelter. That's a fucking problem. But when you have a woman trying to tell you what to do like she's your motherfucking mother, and you sit there and do this shit? Really? Dude, you make it so easy for my boys to fuck your women. You have no idea. You spending all this money. Think about Valentine's Day, guys. All that cupcaking you did, right? As soon as February 15th hit, you're getting in trouble. She's yelling and screaming at you. She's telling you what you can and can't do. And you're saying, okay, I'm sorry, girl. I mean, I'm just trying to get the pussy and shit. Hey, keep doing it, guys. We're going to fuck your women.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I got hours later,
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Williams. Steve, we have a bunch more questions for you, but we're going to have to get into them on Friday when you come back with us Friday. So just give your final parting shots and your contact information.
Okay, guys, get your crayons out. Go to www.schoolofdating.com. We have free boot camps on sex. We have over, I think, 13 to 14 hours of free video boot camps, live radio shows that we do, podcasts, free chat lines. We give you a lot of information to show you that we know what the fuck we talking about. We're not from here, but we're going to take you back when it's come time to come back. So, guys, go to School of Dayton. If you want to, we offer you free 30 minutes of coaching. So just send me your email and the number, when to call you. I'll call you. We'll chop it up, and I will give you the peel to the matrix so you can finally get your balls and start putting your dick in a woman's mouth instead of your hand. I can't wait till Friday, guys. It's going to be on, man.
All right, Chris Steve. Take it easy.
Take it easy, man.
All right, thank you, guys. Man. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Williams.
I'm sure that we'll have
lot of emails about him. I mean, what an impression he left.
Hey, you know, again, entrepreneurs, this is the home of the entrepreneur. And it doesn't matter what spectrum of business you have, how long you've been in business, who you are.
He said he's been a relationship expert since 95, so he's going on.
You know, I mean,
17 years, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well, our next guest is Chris Vaca. He has a campaign Over 50 and Broke. So we will get to know Chris and see what this is all about. Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How's it going, Chris? I'm doing great.
Chris, how's it going?
Hey, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could tap that last guy. He was too much.
Don't worry about it. I don't know who's going to top him, so he'll be all right.
He was off the hook.
Man, I haven't used language like that since I was 22 years old.
Yeah. Wow. So, Chris, tell us about Over 50 and Broke and what that's all about.
Yeah, well, it all started at when I was 56 years old. I had a mortgage business, which just fell apart when the housing meltdown came about, and it hit pretty hard. I went from doing like 5-6 loans a month to doing 5 a year, so it hit me pretty hard. And I mean, I lost everything. I lost my business. I got evicted from my house. My car got repoed. I used up all my savings trying to stay afloat, and I was completely dead broke. I mean, I even had to, I don't know how many of you guys out there would have done this, but I called my ex-wife and I had to ask her for a place to live.
Wow.
That's how broke I was.
I'm sure it was a last resort.
Oh man, was it ever.
Yeah.
I could tell you, man. I tell you, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I'm standing at her front door with my bags in my hand and my head held down. I mean, it was probably the most humiliating point in my whole life. It was bad.
Just imagine. Chris, tell us some of the obstacles you endured starting over at this age.
Well, what I did, I see, I was left with not much to do. Sitting in my ex-wife's house, my car was repossessed. There was not much I could do, so I started to investigate things online. And I got interested in an online business, internet. And
yes.
I started doing that. And at my age, you know, I was 56 years old, and you know that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Absolutely.
It was pretty hard for me trying to learn a computer. You know, people my generation are just not computer literate. And, you know, just learning the terminology, how to maneuver around, it was pretty rough. It was
different.
Probably the hardest part. Yeah, yes. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, even though I had my own mortgage business, you might think that I was pretty good
computer
on the computer.
Savvy.
Yeah, so but, you know, the only things I really knew how to do was to fill out a loan application, print it out, send emails and play solitaire, and that was pretty much my knowledge of the computer at that point.
So, were you scared at that point? I mean, were you nervous about starting over at that late of age? How were your nerves?
Well, the word fear comes to mind. I mean, I was 56 years old. I'm facing retirement, and all of a sudden, I got nothing. So fear struck pretty hard. Because, you know, my plan was to ride that mortgage business right into retirement. I mean, I had everything planned. You know, but when that hit, it's scary. It's scary not knowing what you're going to do, where you're going to be able to live. I mean, you're going to be able to take care. You know, I got children. What am I going to do with them?
And you know, going from making so much money, right? You, I'm sure you're making a pretty good income being in the mortgage business, and then to go.
I was doing over 100 grand a year.
Yeah, see, so that's just.
To go from 100 grand a year down to nothing is a big drop.
It's a big drop.
It's a big drop. Yeah. So I was home.
Chris, how long before the fear was gone?
Well, I'll tell you, it went pretty quick. Once I made up my mind that I wasn't going to let it get me down, and I wasn't the hell going to be living on a street or anything like that. And once I made up my mind, I was determined to do something. The fear just pretty much went away. I set my sights. I set my goal. I worked on that computer 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day, just trying to learn everything. You know, I finally got enough knowledge to put together some websites and start things going. But the fear went away pretty quick. Once you make up your mind to do something and you're determined to do it, the fear pretty goes pretty quick.
I see that you do seminars now, and you have some motivational videos on YouTube. How did this come about, and why?
Well, that's a long story, but make a long story short. I decided once I got things going, and I had money coming in again. I had a money flow. Mm-hmm. I decided that there are so many people like that out there. I mean, so many people that are in my situation or similar situations that just don't know what to do. I mean, plenty of people work all their lives, and all of a sudden, bang, with this whole economy thing, people were out of work, and they didn't know what to do. So I decided I was gonna try and help these people, and I started doing seminars. I got a series of motivational videos on YouTube called Over 50 and Broke. All right, you can view them. Yeah, and I have a website also called Over 50 and Broke. Right now I have over 100 people from around the country that I try to help get back on their feet. And it's going pretty good. It's going pretty good.
What's next on the horizon for you?
Next on the horizon. I'll tell you, one thing I learned is that you gotta do things out of the box. Okay, as a matter of fact, I have a drawing over my desk that I put there, and I have a box, and inside it I have cent signs, and outside the box I put dollar signs. And you got to think outside the box if you want to go somewhere and make some money and be successful.
You're right.
And because of that, I started doing writing. I wrote a book, which is now available on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. It's called America: A Society Gone Wrong. I also write for some internet magazines. I write articles for them. Okay. I'm halfway through a screenplay that I'm putting together. So I'm doing a lot of different things. And you know, as I look back, the recession was a pretty bad thing when it hit me. But if that didn't hit me, I wouldn't be doing the things I am today. And I'm touching so many different things.
Well, Chris, give our listeners your website information and all your contact information.
Sure. You could go to, the website is over50andbroke.com. Okay, you could go there. My email address is available on the site if you need any help getting started with anything. I have my motivational videos, like I say, on YouTube. That's also Over 50 and Broke. I also have motivational videos because that time I was sitting in front of a computer all those months trying to learn everything, I had put on like 50 pounds. And I developed an exercise routine also, which I have on YouTube, which is called Over 50 and Having a Ball. So I have my fingers in a lot of things, and let me tell you something. I've been broke, and I've been up. And I'll tell you, being up is a lot better than being down and broke.
Definitely is.
Yeah, I agree with you there,
sure,
Chris.
You guys could. Oh. Don't you?
Yeah.
We can relate to that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this was Chris Vaca. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And have a good night.
Thank
and good luck.
Much.
Hey, listen. Do I have to say a few curse words or anything like that, too?
No.
You're awesome.
Take care.
See you later, Chris.
Hey, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
It's never too late.
He has an audience too, over 50.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
got
even like
pension
being
checks
50
coming in.
Years old, because when I'm 50, I'm not trying to hear, you know, that I'm old, or, you know, it's all about how you feel.
All about,
you know,
how you feel.
It's what they say, mind over matter, right?
Yes. Well, our next guest will be Kalonji Murray. We'll talk to him after we get into some new music. So stay there with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Hang on,
we'll be
now.
Back on the B-side.
in a late night phone call. It could be adoring, it could be endearing, or love can be a bitch and fuck you back. We can even get the lines crossed sometimes. We're sticking it for the best sex we ever had. Some say it's the one, the one that got away. It's funny how a four-letter word is so complicated, but so meaningful to say. Something about it's beautiful. Talk about love, yeah. The lessons in the irony of it all. The pleasure of the birds and bees. That's how we procreated, yeah. The way we seem to want and need for more. I believe that it's internal courage to walk away. I believe that it's spiritual. If I were to bow our heads and pray, a metaphor of kinetic energy. The signs will never prove, and it's true about what they say. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And if it's the color red, hey, color red, in the shape of a heart. And if it's all we need, then we're all we got. Some say it's an action, the things we do, not the words we say. And there's no wealth like being rich with love. So touch it, feel it, taste it. Still something about it is beautiful, yeah. The lessons in the places for all the wrong reasons. I suppose that just makes us human. Cause we all need something to believe in. There's something about this thing called love that's beautiful. The lessons in the eyes. The blessings of love. The pleasure of the birds. The pleasure of the birds and bees. And making love, love.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Today's Entrepreneur Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams. And we're here.
Our next guest is Kalonji Murray. Kalonji, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you guys?
Good, good.
We're doing all right. We're doing all right out here. So, Kalonji, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Again, the name is Kalonji Murray. I am the owner and tax professional with Tax Assurances, where we provide tax preparation services and e-filing services for individuals, for small businesses, as well as not-for-profits. Along with, you know, being able to do taxes, I also offer insurance, like life insurance, health insurance. I could do retirement planning. I could do college planning. So it's really a great value for someone who sits down and thinks they're just going to do taxes with someone like me, where I can provide, you know, a lot more to them.
Well, you just named a bunch of things. So if you don't mind, I would like to just ask you a question from my own situation. For instance, how do you feel about the how do you feel about the 529 plan?
It's a great plan for a lot of parents who want to save for college and also get a nice deduction for their particular state. It also is great in terms of taking back control. When, you know, say for instance, the child decides that they don't want to go to school, you know, it's a great tool for the parent to say, hey, wait a second, I'm taking the money back that I set aside for college and looking to use it for whatever I want to use it for. So, you know, it's something that every parent should definitely sit down, consider, talk with their financial advisor about, and, you know, make sure it works for their plan.
And you being a tax advisor, now I for instance just use TurboTax, and as you were just talking, I'm kicking myself in the rear end right now, right? Because I'm saying I did not deduct my 529 plan for my children,
and that's exactly one of the reasons why I actually like TurboTax. People want to get a software package like TurboTax, and I've seen it many a time where they say, hey, look, I'm only going to spend $70 and I don't have to pay the $100-some-odd or $200-some-odd to a tax professional because they're you know, taking advantage of me. But it's situations like you just described where I missed out on a deduction and a credit because I was trying to cut corners.
That's big.
So one of the things that you can do, I can actually help you with it if you're interested. You can do a revised tax refund or a tax return.
Okay.
So that's not a problem.
I seen that the slot for amendment and stuff because, you know, they always, you know, it's there. And that's another reason why I'm kicking myself because I think I skipped right over it because, of course, you know, because I even have like rental properties, for instance. So I get the extra deluxe one just so I can, you know, add that into the equation. But, you know, you're right. I mean, I was moving.
Correct. Huh? Right. Did you file as head of household for your tax return?
I actually, no. My wife did. She's the, okay. So, you know, I have additional properties and she, you know, so.
Did she claim the children or did you claim the children?
We both did. We still filed jointly.
Okay, perfect. Okay, as long as you file jointly, that's the important part.
Yep. So, you know, that part. But it was just that one thing. And you have mentioned something else earlier, but I know we have some questions for you. I'll let Michael go ahead and ask you. Sorry.
Go right ahead.
So, Kalonji, what are some of your thoughts about the off-the-shelf packages, software packages that they have out there?
I think we just had a perfect example. I mean, some people, if they've got a very simple return that they have to prepare, then it works fine. But then for other people that have, you know, really complex returns, you know, a software package may not be, in a lot of cases, is not the best answer. They really want to sit down, you know, have an hour, maybe 2 hour long conversation out of the year about what's happened with them financially. And then from there, look to make sure they get all their credits, all their deductions that they're entitled to and not miss out on anything because it could, you know, it could have a definite difference in the amount that you receive as a refund.
Okay. So what advice would you have to all our listeners out there about taxes?
The big thing is really, you know, just getting everything organized, whether it's a filing system, whether it's a pile of papers, whether it's, you know, a well-organized file cabinet, whatever works for the individual, as long as they put all of their financial information together in one central location, and then come tax time, they bring that out and they bring that to their tax preparer and just go over everything. You know, there's no stupid question. You know, there are no, a lot of times, you know, small little things could have huge implications on someone's tax return. So, you know, they definitely want to have that conversation and collect all of that information in one nice, you know, central place.
Especially small businesses as well, right?
Now, if you're just tuning in with us, we're talking to Kalonji Murray. So, Kalonji, what should people do if they owe the IRS money?
Definitely try to work out something. I mean, it's not the best situation to be in. But, you know, contact the IRS, have a conversation, whether, you know, over the phone or in person, and really look to work out a plan, because if you don't, you know, they could eventually garnish wages. It's one of those things where, you know, if you owe money to the IRS, it's never going to leave you. If you file for bankruptcy, it's not going to leave you. So you definitely want to work out something so that it doesn't hinder you getting a job in the future if you want to change jobs. It doesn't, you know, impact your credit. So you really want to work something out with the IRS if you, you find that you owe money.
Why did you say getting a job in the future if you owe the IRS money? I'm just
because
I've never heard
put
of
it on your credit. You could put, put it on your credit report. So if it shows up in your credit report and an employer runs your credit, then suddenly they're going to say, hey, you owe money to the federal government. A lot of employers actually, you know, ask that question on the application if you have a debt to the IRS or any federal agency.
That'll actually impede
from getting
That'll exclude you? Yeah, see, that's, I mean, I find that interesting because how are you supposed to ever pay back what you may owe if it's affecting you in such a negative manner? But
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you really want to sit down and work out something that works with your budget and works with what they're looking for. I mean, they, you know, they want to get the debt just, you know, settled as much as you do. So you really want to have the, you know, an open and honest conversation with them about how to do that.
Absolutely.
So, Kalonji, what financial advice do you have for our listeners? How can people save money in these times?
In terms of saving money, I mean, it could be as little as $5 a month. The important part about saving money is to do it consistently and to not get, quote-unquote, tempted to, you know, tap into what you've already saved. So say, for instance, you accumulated, let's say, $500 and you know, you see that new TV screen or that new camera that you've been dying to get, or you've got that vacation. You know, you want to kind of use a little restraint and say, hey, let me not buy that now. This money was set aside for a specific purpose. But again, getting back to the consistency, you know, if it's as little as $5 every single paycheck, just try to do that on a consistent basis and don't tap into it. That's a great way to save. And then as you, quote unquote, have more extra money, you know, bump up that $5 to $20 or $20 to, you know, $100, $100 to $1,000. But that way, you know, when you know, the future comes, you have something that, that can help you in emergency situations.
Very okay. Important. So, where can people put money in that has high interest rates, that they can receive?
The interest rate environment is really low now, and there aren't a lot of places. If you're going to take on more risk, then that's where you would get the higher return. But, you know, a lot of people are very skittish now. A lot of people are very hesitant to take on risk. But, you know, if you're looking at a savings account at a bank, you're going to get less than 1%, you know, pretty much all over the country. And that will be like, that'll be the situation probably for the next few years.
And is that,
as the economy turns around.
Is that something that can actually do something for somebody? I'm wondering, you know, if I let my money sit and gain 1% for the next 10, 15 years, is there actually going to be any significant outcome of that?
Well, you're saving. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saving. I mean, any dollars you can save is great. In terms of the return that you're talking about, you know, there are other alternatives that, you know, people can look at. But that's when you start talking about taking on more risk. So say, for instance, you say, you know, you've got a savings account, you've got a CD, you've got bonds with the government, you've got bonds with corporations, you've got stocks, you've got risky stocks. There are a whole host of options. And again, every individual needs to sit down with their advisor and say, hey, this is what I feel comfortable with. This is what I do not feel comfortable with.
I got you.
What are the returns based on what you know about these particular investments or savings?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Kalonji Murray. Kalonji, just give your final parting shots and your contact information for all our listeners.
Well, I want your listeners to really, you know, think about financial planning, you know, probably once or twice a month. That way, as very minimum, that way they, you know, put it in their daily life. You know, if you say that you're going to save every paycheck, then, you know, then when that paycheck rolls around, then you're able to do that. In terms of meeting, you know, and not meeting me, but in getting in touch with me, I can be reached at taxassurances.com. I'm also on Twitter at taxassurances on Twitter, and taxassurances on Facebook as well. So there are multiple ways to reach me, and by phone it's 914-278-9241.
Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on and giving us all that useful information.
It's greatly appreciated. And just before you go, where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from New Rochelle, New York.
Okay, New Rochelle, Newark in the house. Okay.
New Rochelle, New York.
Oh, not Newark, yes. New Rochelle, New York. Well, thank you, Mr. Murray, for coming on, and we appreciate it. And we wish you all the best.
You take care.
You too, gentlemen. Take care.
Okay. Definitely going to have to take a look at his site. And
Taxassurances.com. Yeah,
very good information.
Very good information.
Very knowledgeable guy right there.
So what you think? Let's play some more music. We'll get back into it with our next interview.
Okay.
Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show.
She wasn't from America. She was at the French market. I'm walking by. Her back was to me. Her hair really caught my eye. You know that wavy jet black long and all hers. She's an aphrodisiac, not oysters, with her Fleur de Lis dress on. First thing you ask any woman's a question. How you doing, baby? Or something just like it. You look kinda cool and I'm looking for a sidekick to go to the Saints game. Chill on the lake, hit the quarters and get drinks. Baby face, but a body like she 26. We took a long walk, picked up some crawfish. She work at Target, got her own apartment. Telling me about her life, I wanna be a part of it. Girl, let's get inside before it gets cold.
Cause all the walls like feel good. My cafe do not always so sweet. And you're my Fleur de Lis, I'm your black and gold. Cause girl, you know I'm feeling you in your Crescent City.
Yeah, you grooving with the sounds of Suave. Yeah, Focus. And we're just two Crescent City boys who love the Crescent City soul, you know what I'm saying? And I love my city, so when I can pay it to my city, that's a big thing. Listen. You remind me of everything in life that's right. You dig deep like a tiger bite. All the niggas city council fight, cause you deserve more. Then these niggas willing to give you, they immature. Self-absorbed and willing to explore you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. Yeah.
Your Crescent City soul, it never gets old. Oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are.
Gentlemen, to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you on the line with us?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Melanie Mitchell. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Melanie.
Things are going great. What's up, Melanie?
Good. I'm doing okay. I just wanted to call in and tell you I really enjoy the show. I've been listening to it for a couple of weeks now, and I've really been enjoying your guests, and the music's been great.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely try to keep some, you know, a full array of guests and, you know, fill the whole gamut.
Yeah, your guest, one of your guests earlier today was a little crazy, but he caught us off. Caught everybody off guard a little, huh?
He caught us off guard, exactly.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great show, and I want to just encourage you guys to keep it up and keep asking questions to the guests. Okay. I think you get a little pause there once in a while, but, you know, keep asking the questions. And can we call in and ask questions to your guests?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you can call in at any time, and we can pass you right through to the guests.
We promote that. That's you know, that's what we want. Like you said, sometimes, you know, probably we're forced to ask an extra question or two, and that's probably where you might hear the pause.
We can use
some extra, you know, some help sometimes. So, and we want to keep it interesting.
Definitely going to share the station with a couple of coworkers. You know, get a few people to call in because it's a great show.
Well, that's much appreciated.
Keep playing the good music too. Where do you get your playlist from?
These artists, they send the music to us. Looking for exposure.
Yeah,
independent artists, they send the music our way.
We're on a few different sites.
Yeah, you've been playing some really nice music. I enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, keep up the good work. I'll be listening in on Friday to the second part of your crazy guest.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What was his name, by the way?
His name was Steve Williams. Steve the Dean
Steve
Williams.
We were actually just on his website.
He's from another planet, right?
During the music. During the music, I was on his website and I was taking a look at it. So, you know. But
he's an interesting guy.
He definitely is.
We'll have him back Friday.
Thank
you, Melanie, for calling.
I might call in and ask him a question.
Yeah, you need to, definitely. Well, thank you, Melanie, for calling, and we appreciate
it. Take it easy. All righty. Bye-bye.
Well, that caller was excited.
There you have it, folks. You know, people are listening all over the continent.
Our next guest is Maria Crawford. She is the founder and owner of a company called Maria's Crawford Bridal. Maria, how are you doing?
Hello?
Maria, yes, I'm here.
How are you doing, Maria?
I'm good.
So, Maria, tell us a little bit about Maria's Crawford Bridal.
Well, Marie Crawford's Bridal was founded about 5 years ago. I'm originally an event planner, and in my work as an event planner, when I would plan weddings, I would often go to on bridal appointments with my brides. And one of the things that I came across is that a lot of the shops, the higher end shops, didn't want to be bothered with them because they knew that they didn't have the money to spend. So they were often treated disrespectfully and at times ignored. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to create that boutique-like atmosphere for that midpoint price point bride, but give them the feeling like they're going to a higher end boutique, and therefore Marie Crawford's Bridal was born. And we also retail items for other events as well, not just bridal. So we offer items for the entire bridal party as well as the prom or homecoming girl, or tuxedo rentals. We do jewelry, a host of things.
That's interesting. As you were speaking, I'm thinking, when my wife watched some of these shows, I want to say on E, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but, you know,
Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah, so, you know, I watch those, and, you know, you just get caught up. It's interesting because it does show people's true feelings. Like, I never really realized how big the wedding could be, especially to a woman, or that's part of the wedding, you know, picking out the dress, for instance. But as you were speaking, it just mentioned some of the other accessories and, you know, and things that you offer in your bridal store. Is that something unique in your field, or do most stores offer the full array of accessories, or, you know, is this just something that you added?
That's something that's unique to me, especially in the area that I serve. Generally, if it's a bridal shop, they will only do bridal, and they don't want to be involved with any of the other items that that we can carry, like other special occasion. There are other stores in this area that specifically cater to the bride, but I wanted to increase my opportunities for greater income by offering, making it, you know, offering items to other clients as well for other events like proms and quinceañeras and pageants and things like that. But most bridal shops focus on just bridal. But in these days, with the economy being the way it is, you know, bridal shops that once offered items just to brides are now starting to branch out and offer other items as well.
Well, what area do you serve?
We are located in Frederick, Maryland, so most of my customers come from the Washington metropolitan area, as well as West Virginia and Pennsylvania. I also, through our online connections, we also offer items online through eBay, Craigslist, and other avenues. I'm currently working on our online boutique.
Well, is there anything unique about your dresses? What makes your products that you offer different than anything else that's out there?
I wouldn't say necessarily that my product is different. I try to encourage and offer just top of the line customer service to what we call our guests. I try to offer that. I want to be known for top of the line customer service, and I want to be known for not only offering that, but offering it at a price point that anyone could afford, from the, you know, the low budget bride to the mid budget bride to the high end bride. I wanted to have a little bit of something for everyone, so that everyone could feel comfortable shopping at our boutique.
Definitely. What fabric do you use? What's your main fabric?
Well, it seems to be that most of our brides are interested in the bridal satin, like Duchess satin. They're more interested in that. But we do have other types of dresses that that they also sell. But most brides will get the satiny dresses.
Do you do any tailor-made dresses or from scratch, you know, or do you have people that actually construct these?
We do have an association with a seamstress that make dresses from, as you would call, scratch. They're called custom dresses or designer dresses.
Designer dresses.
Well, what are some other options of merchandise that people can purchase from you?
We, as I stated earlier, we rent tuxedos. We have accessories for every occasion for the bride, such as veils, and we also do gifts for the bridal party. We do invitations. As I said, we do alterations. We do wedding gown preservation. You name it. As if there's an event that you're going to and you need something for it, we have it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Maria Crawford. Maria, can you just give your final parting shots and in your contact information once again?
Sure. Yes, Marie Crawford's Bridal is located in the villages of Urbana in Frederick, Maryland. You can reach us by calling 301-712-9179, or you can visit us on the web at www.mariecrawfordsbridal.com. You can email us at boutique@mariecrawfordsbridal.com. From your debut to I Do, we'll fit your style.
Sounds good, Maria. So, I want to thank you for calling. We appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners got some great information about your bridal services that you offer.
For everybody in that area, please contact her so that she can give you some suggestions and some help.
And she has some great services to offer. So, Maria, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good night.
Good night.
That was Maria, folks, and for all those brides-to-be.
Anybody in that area, Maryland, Virginia, contact Maria Crawford's Bridal. Our next and final guest of the night is Thursday Brahm. They are the owner of an online marketing business, so we'll get a chance to see what this is all about. Hi, Thursday. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Well, Thursday, why don't you start off by telling us exactly is the name of your online marketing business?
My business is Hypermodern Writing.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what we do for our clients, which are usually small businesses, is we come in and we do online marketing. So we do everything from doing blogs to creating ebooks and newsletters, to doing the social media promotion that goes along with it, and just generally creating those online presences that businesses have to have at this point, but that small businesses in particular may not have the resources to do themselves.
Now, what is the value of online content marketing over other kinds of marketing for business owners out there?
Well, one of the more common methods of marketing used to be getting that Yellow Pages ad and making sure that you had a company name that started with a letter early on in the alphabet so that you'd be listed first, so that when people were looking through the phone book, they'd see you. But the thing is, nobody goes to the phone book anymore. They pull out their phone or they go to their home computer and they type whatever they're looking into one of the search engines. And in order to rank well on search engines like Google or Yahoo, you have to have information on your site. You have to have a lot of content about what you do, especially if you're in a industry where there's a lot of competition in your area. So the more that you can put online about what you're doing, the easier it is for people to find you and therefore buy your services or product.
True, very true.
Well, Thursday, how much time or money should a business owner invest in online content?
Well, in an ideal world, we'd all have giant marketing budgets to put in. But if a business owner can do all of this work in-house, they're usually looking at a commitment of at least 10 hours a week. That's a lot for a business owner who's responsible for doing everything from, you know, bottle washing to bookkeeping. When you're looking at what somebody who's coming in and doing either what I do or some similar services, you're usually looking at closer to $1,000 to $1,500 a month as sort of the starting point to get all of this work done.
And what sort of online content is particularly useful for businesses promoting themselves online?
Well, it, of course, always depends on the business itself. We want to make sure that we're where our clients are. Demographically speaking, there are certain clients that will read blogs over subscribing to email newsletters. But the benefit of having a blog in particular is that you're getting all of the SEO benefit, and then you can turn around and you can plug it into email newsletter software, and you can even turn it into an ebook. You can automate it feeding into social media accounts. So blogs are a particularly versatile opportunity for most businesses. Now, if it's really clear that your demographic isn't even going to be, you know, searching on Google or anything like that, it might be worth looking at some other options. But considering that most demographics are online, at least to that extent, a blog is a really great place to start.
And speaking of blogs, because that's just something that's been floating in and out of my mind recently, just for, you know, some projects I'm working on. But could you please explain to me and our listeners, like, how one searches for blogs, and how perhaps would you start a blog for your own business, let's say, or, you know, whatever you may have going on?
Sure. So a lot of people don't even realize when they're on a blog online, because they just put in search terms and they land on an article that looks interesting and informative. But most people do put that their blog is a blog. They label it as such, which makes it possible to search in something like Google that you're looking for a blog about. Well, I've seen everything from blogs about in-ground swimming pools to dry cleaners.
Okay. So, okay.
But going to your second question about starting a blog, it's gotten significantly easier over the past couple of years. If you've already got a website with a reputable host, most of them have what's called a one-click install, where you can set up a blogging software like WordPress with just one click.
Oh, okay, that now that's that if you said if you have a website and you're being and hosted by a particular company that's... That's dominant in the field. I got you. Like, for instance, perhaps like a GoDaddy, let's say.
Right. GoDaddy is one of the companies that does offer one-click install. Basically, there is a button on your hosting account where you say, add a blog to my site, and it sets up everything.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Thursday Prime. Can you tell us the name of your company and the website again?
Yes, it's Hyper Modern Writing, and that's hypermodernwriting.com.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the learning curve to how to handle online content and social media marketing?
Well, it's very easy to get started. Blogging these days, if you can send an email, you can put a blog post up online. The hard part is figuring out what really works in terms of content, especially in a particular industry. So, for instance, I mentioned that there are blogs on in-ground swimming pools. It's very difficult to figure out what people are going to be searching for, what people will read on a regular basis about swimming pools, unless you have knowledge both about the industry and about how people behave online when it comes to searching and reading. And that's probably the hardest part for a business owner starting to get into this. The learning curve for that can be pretty steep, because while there are really good resources online, not everybody has a lot of time to devote to learning about writing blog posts and figuring out what headlines work and figuring out search engine optimization strategies and all of that. So when it's possible to bring somebody in that's already got the experience, that can make a huge difference in the learning curve.
Now, how can content marketing tie in with a business's their other marketing efforts?
Well, it depends, once again, on the business. I hate to always say it depends, but it really does. But with bringing people into like an actual store as opposed to driving them to a website, a blog or a newsletter can be really effective, because if you've got a set of customers that come in fairly regularly, it becomes easier to create a system that makes them loyal, that gives them information about the products or the services that you sell, and sort of ties them into a community rather than somebody who just stops by your store every once in a while. with advertising, it's also possible to get sort of a better idea of exactly how effective your ads are. One of the things about advertising that's always just driven me, at least, crazy is you can invest thousands of dollars in advertising, but it's really hard to tell exactly who's seen it and if they've acted on it and what the connection is to your sales. But if you're driving people to a blog or to a newsletter, you can see if they subscribe or if they comment or if they purchase something through your site, which is just, it shows you what you're getting for your money, which I think is
that's really a big point.
Really useful.
Now, who are some of your clients, and what would a typical purchase look like?
Well, so most of my clients are actually small businesses, and there's about three different ways that they would come and work with us. So the first way is a business owner will say, well, I need to have a blog, but I want to do as much of it in-house as possible, but I don't want to spend a couple of years on figuring out what's going to work. So what we would do in that case is we would do some consulting, we would do some training to get them up to speed, and we'd probably sit down and work out like an editorial calendar for their site so that they have a path to follow, but they can do the work themselves. Now, we also will go to the far end of the spectrum, and we'll come in and we'll do everything. We will set up the site, we will write all the blog posts, we will do guest posts on other sites so that it starts building traffic, we'll do social media promotion, we'll basically just come in and do everything and help a client just sit back and rake in the money. And then we do some projects that are in between. So if a client has a blog that's working pretty well but wants to do like an incentive piece to help people subscribe, like reward subscribers with an ebook, we'll come in and we'll help write the ebook and get it out there that it's available.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're talking to Thursday Brahm. Well, Thursday, can you give your final parting shots and all your contact information out?
Sure. My final parting shot is that this is something that is really valuable for business owners, that it's something that's a lot more trackable than a lot of the more traditional approaches, and it's just very, very useful. My site is hypermodernwriting.com. I can be reached via email at thursday@hypermodernwriting.com, and that's probably the best way to reach me.
Well, Thursday, we want to thank you for coming on to the Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show with us. We greatly appreciate it. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Well, that was Thursday Brahm, ladies and gentlemen.
Very, very good information once again.
You know, today was a great show, man. Another great show. Another panel full of esteemed great guests. And this is what the show is all about. Just giving entrepreneurs and business owners a platform to showcase their products, their services, and so that they can be connected with the consumer. I mean, you need to know what alternatives are out there. Just because that project has that $1 million budget for marketing doesn't mean that it's the best product for you. They can just afford to put it in your face more. Right. So I want to thank everybody for listening to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams.
And we'll see you Friday, folks.
It's been a pleasure tonight. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We appreciate you tuning in tonight and hope that you enjoyed the show. Until next time, please keep a successful state of mind and keep the creativity brewing.